Hello and welcome to Keanu Club, like a cool breeze over the mountains. This is episode 5, Youngblood, from 1986. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
And I'm Mike Manzi.
And with us, we have our number one returning guest in terms of both in our hearts and also in frequency from Cage Club, Tobin Addington. Hello, Tobin.
I can't get enough. It's good to be here, guys.
And Tobin will be back a whole lot for Keanu Club, but he kicks things off with this movie,
yeah.
A hockey movie from 1986, starring Rob Lowe and Patrick Swayze. So my number one thing with this movie is that, like, you see so many movies today where, like, the women are sexualized, there's gratuitous nudity, but here, there's really only, like, one woman in the movie, and she gets topless later in the movie, but the whole, like, first half, we just have shirtless dudes and, like, Rob Lowe butt. This is a movie that women can get behind. Like, I guess, you know, you bring your girlfriend to the movies for, like, a date, and, like, it's like a hockey movie starring a bunch of guys, but, like, there's stuff here for the ladies, too.
There is a lot of gratuitous male, yeah, I guess nudity, you would say. A lot of muscle shots. A lot of gratuitous male muscle shots in this movie. And yeah, there's some equal opportunity when you balance out, well, not fully equal, but more equal opportunity when you balance out the 80s in terms of the amount of breast shots you do get in the era. It's only fair that there's some equal opportunity here.
Sure.
Yeah, and this is R-rated as well, so they're taking full advantage of that, I feel. And yeah, for a teen sports film, you're right, gratuitous, I'd say, not just with the sort of the sex, but the violence later on as well. They really go for it here. And date movie, definitely. I think all that, all the sports and violence for the guy sitting there. And then the girl gets to look at beautiful Patrick Swayze for 2 hours.
And beautiful Rob Lowe. You can't forget about beautiful Rob Lowe.
And the hair. The hair.
Oh, yeah. The hair. The flowing hair.
Yeah.
I kind of love this movie. The only criticism I have about it, and specifically in terms of what we're doing here, is there's just not enough Keanu in it. Mm. That he plays the team's goalie, and he's in it an okay amount, I guess more than some of the other things that we've done so far. This movie is really just about four people. It's about Rob Lowe, Patrick Swayze, Rob Lowe's girlfriend, and then the coach. And, like, that's pretty much it. Like, they don't really have any concern with fleshing out any other characters or really sort of going more in depth. It's just these four guys, and the other are sort of just kind of fillers.
Even Rob Lowe's rival, Racky, the big goon from the opposite team, they don't really spend a whole lot of time on him, right? Everyone else is really on the peripheral. And Keanu is pretty much a background player. He has a few lines, but for the most part, yeah, he's goalie and he's just there.
So the name of the movie is Youngblood. It's named after Rob Lowe's last name. His name is Dean Youngblood, which is kind of an amazing name. I'm not even sure what Keanu's name is in this movie. I guess he's just Heaver.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just his ice name.
I don't even know if do they refer to him by name, or they're just sort of like an introduction at one point and that's it.
No, you can catch a last name on the back of his jersey. It goes by real fast, and I didn't slow down to write it, and it didn't seem pronounceable because, hey guys, let's bring this up. He's got an accent here. He's playing French.
He's French-Canadian in this movie.
Yes, when his first line came up, I wrote down, is that a Russian accent? Question mark. I wasn't sure what he was doing. And then the next time I forget exactly what the line, but he says animal in the line. I'm like, oh no, he's French Canadian, isn't he?
Well, that man is fucking an animal.
Because the movie takes place, we should say, largely in Canada, right? Rob Lowe's from the United States, from New York, but then goes to Canada to play for this hockey team. So Heaver, the Keanu Reeves character, is the token French-Canadian character in the movie.
And what I kind of love about this point in Keanu's career is that, you know, it takes place in Canada. We know he's Canadian. We've seen him play like a hoodlum, which I don't think fits in with his character, or his actor, Keanu the person. However, we saw him in Letting Go as, like, this punk kid, stereo teen. Here we have him as a hockey player. We know Canada loves hockey, but it turns out that Keanu Reeves had hockey experience upon being cast, was named MVP and nicknamed, quote, The Wall for his goaltending capabilities. So even though Keanu's not really in these early movies too much, I like that he's picking roles or getting cast in things that are, like, near and dear to his heart. that they're things that he's passionate about, they're things that he's good at, they're things that make sense for him to do in terms of his acting career, I think.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of young actors, when they get these early roles, you know, you hear about them diving into them, you know, maybe over-researching them in some way. But here's one that comes a little pre-fit for him, right? That he was such a good hockey player beforehand, and then apparently trained with two of the pros who were sort of, they were in the movie a little bit, but I think they were mostly just there to train the actors. And apparently, stories go that Keanu went out of his way to train with these guys. And partly, I'm sure, because it was fun, but also partly because, you know, he's trying to take this role seriously, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, and you see him running drills with the team at one point, too. So he's really doing stuff out there. Unfortunately, when he's on the ice, his face is mostly covered with these awesome goalie masks. So you're never quite sure if he actually is in all of those shots. But I like to believe he is. One thing that's kind of interesting is later on, Keanu's going to return to the sports film genre with a football film. I think even maybe a baseball film. I'm not sure. But
yep.
But he never comes back to hockey. So hopefully down the line, maybe he'll get back to that.
This is such an exciting part of Keanu Club, like really early on in Cage Club, where we have so many movies ahead of us that I know literally nothing about. You know what I mean? That he might be in a hockey movie. I don't think so. I don't, based on, you know, DVD covers and stuff. But who knows? Like, who knew that for Cage Club, The Boy in Blue would be about sculling? You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It's just, the possibilities are endless, and I love seeing Keanu in this movie. And I tweeted after I watched the movie, that I would watch 100 hockey movies with Patrick Swayze. Like, he is so good in this role and so good in this movie that, I mean, it's really Rob Lowe's movie. You know, that he's the star and he's the guy we're following. But just like, Swayze is just so good in this movie that, like, I would watch him in so many hockey movies.
Yeah, this is a quintessential 80s, like heart of the 80s, 80s movie. From the synth score to the sort of smoke in the frame, you know, both literal and that the people are smoking, but then also that, like, when they're in these, in the opening and closing of the movie, there are all these like shots on the ice where they pumped in all this smoke and some training montages with Rob Lowe. And then the fact that it's Rob Lowe and Patrick Swayze as the two leads of this movie. Like, through and through, you could turn on almost any scene in this movie and know exactly when it was made.
And what's also great is over the closing credits, there's like that power ballad, sort of like 80s sports movie, terrific theme song that I just love. I don't know, I guess it was in my brain somewhere that this should be coming. And then when it kicked on, I was like, yes, this is what's been missing. This is exactly the way to end this movie. Just over the credits, just like this perfect, perfect song.
Swayze and Rob Lowe have really good chemistry in this film. They played brothers in The Outsiders a few years earlier. And it's also kind of crazy that I had no idea Keanu and Swayze would cross paths this soon. You know, they come back together in a major way later on. So it's kind of funny when they're in the locker room and you see Patrick Swayze walking by and then you see Keanu behind him balancing toilet paper on his head. You're like, oh man, one day they're going to be.
It was toilet paper? I wasn't sure if it was a cup. I don't know. Like that's the first time we see him, right? He just like crosses the screen wordlessly, just balancing something on his head. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah, it's even crazier to think they'll be jumping out of airplanes together one day. I think there might have been a shot of Keanu at the tryouts hanging out on the bleachers with everybody wearing the red sports coats, because him in the red sports coat reminded me of Letting Go, because it looked exactly like the Letterman jacket he was wearing in that.
Oh, sure.
So, maybe he is stereo teen.
So in this movie, I guess just the hockey players, the new hockey players, while they're looking to sort of get settled, they stay at this boarding house with this old woman, not really old woman, but she's probably in her 50s or 60s, named Miss McGill. And apparently the initiation into this house is that she just sleeps with all the young hockey players. And you don't realize that, I don't think, at first. And she like whips out this stack of hockey cards. And like, thinking back on that scene after you see them off screen have sex, it's like, oh, she's had sex with all those professional hockey players. It's like they've all like come through her home. They've all been with her. And we see Keanu with his first line. He and one of his teammates are just looking in the room, watching them do that, watching him get initiated into this town, into this boarding house, into this team. And it just, it's so weird and just so goofy.
She do it to me last year. She do it to me last night, huh?
It's pretty crazy. And right from the start, I was like, I can't believe they're going there. She is clearly a cougar coming on to Rob Lowe, and sure. has her eyes just, you know, on him from the start. And it's just hilarious that they go there. I just think it's kind of funny that he has gone to his first practice and kind of gotten the crap kicked out of him. Now he's going to this boarding house, and he's definitely gonna have a roll in the hay here with this lady. It's kind of, he's like becoming a man in a weird way. He's left the farm, he's in the city, he's on his own, like he's having all these experiences. It's just that they're happening like one after another in rapid succession because it's a movie. So it kind of, some of it feels a little off tone and a very unexpected at moments.
Yeah, there's a lot of initiation in the early part of this film, which, you know, these initiation sort of rituals, I guess, that he ends up going through. I mean, just before he gets to the boarding house, he gets his pubes shaved by the team. So let's find out. Let's see if that comes up again in Keanu Club anywhere. And the sex with Mrs. McGill is so matter of fact, you know, like he gives her like two looks as she starts taking off her top, and then bam, they're going for it. And the tea's rattling. Yep. And then you get the shot of Keanu and the other teammate peeking in through the doorway to see what's going on. And it's one of those times that you begin to get, you know, a glimpse of the, let me ask you this question. Is Keanu supposed to be playing kind of dim? Like, is this a Bill and Ted kind of character? It seemed that way a little bit to me, but again, he's not on enough maybe to really tell.
I think he's just, you know, it's a hockey player. And so it's kind of the, maybe just not like simple minded, but just not the most intelligent person.
Yeah.
I really don't know. I think what you said is right, that we just don't see enough of him to really get an accurate judge of him. I mean, he's not necessarily the smartest from a couple lines that we see, but it's sort of, I mean, I think it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, that they just don't bother fleshing anybody out. So everybody could be smart or dumb. Right. We just don't really know. And the director and the writers just don't seem to care.
Later on, when it's definitive that he's French Canadian, I just sort of took it as he's the foreigner, maybe, or just that he's he was raised in a different culture, and maybe English is his second language to a degree, or he just doesn't get a lot of the social cues, perhaps, that, you know, Patrick Swayze and Rob Lowe instantly pick up on. And the next scene is hilarious too, because they're all out celebrating the fact that Rob Lowe has slept with Mrs. McGill, you know, and Patrick Swayze is making a toast, and they're all Eskimo brothers.
The only thing better than a glass of beer is tea with Miss McGill.
Oh. Hey, cheers, Miss McGill. Yeah. All
right. That bar scene is kind of the best scene in the movie. It's just that they take him out, and this is another form of initiation, right?
Right.
Where they just keep buying him shots and keep buying him drinks, and just, as he takes a shot, as he like pounds it back, they all just toss it over their shoulders, and he shows up to practice the next morning completely wrecked, and he just not able to do anything. I wish there was more of that in this movie. Like, I really like this movie a whole lot from start to finish, but that scene, there's just this energy, and there's this level of fun, and maybe just because I just saw Everybody Wants Some, but it sort of reminds me of that. Like, it's like this 80s bunch of dudes hanging out, just trying to pick up chicks, just drinking with their buddies. And like, there's like this life there, and just like such a great scene. And poor Rob Lowe has no idea what he's getting into.
Yeah, you're right. There's a lot of chemistry between these guys. And now we're watching it looking for Keanu, right? Like, we're watching it with him in mind. And so, you know, we pick up on it more maybe. But I would imagine that if there had been more scenes between the guys, he is a character who we would have spent more time with, right? If only because, you know, he has clearly the different accent, the different background, and that sort of adds to, and then this kind of vacant quality to him that's kind of charming in a way. Again, maybe partly because we're watching with him in mind, but I would have loved to have spent more time with Heaver.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think we get kind of as close as we can get with that character, because they try to focus on one more teammate, right? The guy who keeps getting these cortisone shots in his shoulder, and at the end he's all suspended and stuff. And even with that guy, all we really get is that him and Swayze are really good friends until Rob Lowe shows up. And not that he becomes an enemy or anything, it's just he definitely takes a back seat. So that we even get single frame shots of Keanu with dialogue, close-ups, and things like that, I think is pretty lucky.
It's a step in the right direction for Keanu Club.
It seems like he might have even gone out of his way to get himself noticed, possibly created a character, something that they couldn't say no to when they heard it, and said, we have to get him on screen at the end of the day, get that shot.
That's an interesting question. I wonder if the character was written as French-Canadian or if he just showed up on set and started using the accent. I'm pure speculation here, but I do wonder.
What's sort of frustrating about it is that just by the nature of him being a goalie, we just don't see his face whenever they're on the ice. And there's so many close-ups of Rob Lowe's face and Patrick Swayze's face and the guy who plays Racky, the bruiser on the other team, their rival team. Unlike football, for instance, you just see their face, right? Like, you see it, like, it's, like, close-up. And Keanu, he's just wearing this mask with a scar on it that's apparently based on a mask that he wore in real life or based on a mask, by a famous Bruins goalie. Yeah. And what's frustrating about it is that, and I think what Mike was saying earlier, like, that might not be him in goal. I'm like, I'm sure it is because it seems like he got cast because he has his hockey experience.
Right.
But, like, we just don't know. And it just... You know, I know that we're watching this both as a movie, but also for Keanu, and just for the Keanu sake of it, it's just kind of annoying.
It's tough when the movie's not about that character and you really want more of that. He's almost like the Boba Fett of this film in a way. He's just like highly stylized and way underused.
I mean, other than Keanu, other than, like, I think it's like a cool character study. It's sort of, I guess, a little cliche. It's cliche in terms of sports movies, in terms of, like, how they wind up winning in the end, how they get to the end. I think Mighty Ducks kind of ripped off this maybe a little bit. But, you know, I like the movie all in all. I like the characters. I like the relationship. I think it's kind of expected that the girl that Rob Lowe falls in love with happens to be the coach's daughter. And that's sort of the roadblock that he has to overcome. It's not necessarily wholly original. But maybe that's just because there's been so many sports movies made. And maybe, you know, some aped off this a little bit. But I still like this movie sort of from start to finish for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah, as you say, this breaks no new ground, right? We're not going to use this as sort of a template for how to change the sports movie. It hits all the notes. And if it didn't have the cast that it does, but everything else was exactly the same, it maybe would have been a TV movie. You know, I don't know that it would have been a theatrical release, but given the sort of rising star quality of the main talent, it does the job just fine.
I agree as well. I right from the start, I had a feeling I was going to enjoy this when the opening title sequence, I couldn't tell if it was a dream or reality necessarily because of the just awesomely 80s way that it is shot. And I just knew what we were getting in for right from the start. I think it's totally solid. It's got a lot of energy when it needs it. The romance is believable. The games are really well shot, and you can kind of taste and feel the sweat of the locker room. I don't watch a ton of sports films like this. I'm not the biggest fan of that, I think, but I definitely enjoyed this one.
Is there anything else that we want to talk about? Is there anything else in terms of Keanu, in terms of the movie, in terms of anything about Youngblood in general that we want to make sure we talk about before we end? I mean, there's not a whole lot to talk about here, once again, because Keanu's just not in it that much. Anything else, Tobin, that you wanted to cover made note of?
You know, the only other note that I have that I just reminded hearing Mike's great description of the opening is that the thing that gave me the most sort of buy-in early on, before we get to the chemistry of that main cast, is at the very, very beginning, before the opening credit sequence, there's an 8mm home movie footage of, I think we're meant to believe that it's Youngblood as a kid playing. Did you guys get that sense? There's this home, it's like found footage, right? It's like found footage of him playing. And then eventually, like, a fight breaks out and the camera gets dropped to the ice sideways. and then the dad's rushing in to sort of try to break up the fight or whatever. And I thought it was a nice sort of way to start the movie. You know, like, it sort of alters the convention at the beginning of the sports movie a little bit. And then also the fact that it ties up at the end. The movie ends, well, before the very coda, the last coda scene with the love interest, is the scene, you know, is a fight. The ending of the sort of championship game is not them winning. It's then afterwards him fighting the big bad of the movie, you know, like literally fist fighting this guy. And so there's a nice sort of symmetry with that opening bit too. I think it just all does point that it's a well-made piece, right? It's a well-put-together film.
Yeah, I really like that opening video footage. I thought it was a really nice touch. The only thing I wanted to mention, and I think that might be, I mean, it's possible that this has something to do with it, but supposedly the movie is based around the writer-director's life as a hockey player. And so there could be, I guess, possibility that like that's footage of the director when he was young. I don't know. I mean, I didn't read anything about that. I just read the one thing on IMDb that is based on, loosely based on, the director's life as a hockey player. You know, I guess you have to wonder, when you have like found footage like that, if they filmed it in 1986 and just applied filters to it, or if that's genuinely footage from, you know, the 60s or 70s or whatever.
Yeah, I just loved it as a storytelling device. You go from that and then you cut to Rob Lowe skating as an adult. So you know that this character's entire life has been hockey, you know, ever since he was a little boy to now he's 19 years old. So it's just a really great shortcut right there at the top of the film to let you know that, you know, this is his entire life.
Mike, any other thoughts? Any other thoughts about Youngblood? Anything else we wanted to cover?
Well, I'm glad Tobin brought it up because somehow I forgot about it. But that end fight is out of control, guys. That is one of the most insane things I've seen on camera ever. And I've seen Deadpool this year. You know, like, it is just, it's like Street Fighter. They literally start dueling with hockey sticks. And everyone's cool with it. This is like what they came for. Like you said, the game is over and the fight begins. And this is like what it's really all about. I just couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it came down to a boxing match at the end. I'm not complaining. I just couldn't believe it. You know, I think it was great, as a matter of fact.
I was talking to my one friend who loves hockey, who loves hockey movies, loves sports movies, loves Patrick Swayze. This movie's like really right up his alley. And he said that apparently in hockey around this time, that just used to happen. Like, they used to have like the hockey duel fight where it just basically whoever can knock the stick out of the other one's hand first. So that's not something that they made up for the movie. That's the thing that actually happened, which is even almost crazier that that's something that was in real life. That now you throw the gloves down and you just fight each other with your fists. Back then they had like this duel, like this sort of guys gathering around a hockey duel. It's weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it adds a sense of chivalry to everything, like the way, you know, like someone dueling with an actual foil would, or if it's just like even crazier and makes them look more like madmen. But either way you slice it, it made for a great visual and a very exciting conclusion.
All right. Well, thank you, Tobin, for joining us for this episode. You will be back. It'll be a little while. You'll be back just 2 years down the line, but Keanu does a lot between now and then. You'll be back for Dangerous Liaisons, I think, is your next one. So pretty exciting stuff coming up soon.
Yes, where he is a full French in that movie, and and there's also dueling. So there's lots of connections there.
So for all things Keanu Club, you can go to cageclub.me or you can go to facebook.com/cageclub, and you can find out about Keanu Club and all the other podcasts on our network. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
And I'm Mike Manzi.
And that was Tobin Addington, and we'll see you next time on Keanu Club.
That man is fucking an animal.